You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So in the world of business, a couple of things happen. And sometimes when things happen, you're left wondering, why did this go right? Why did this happen the way it did? I'm, of course, referring to something that's recently happened, and that is the sale of the South African Petroleum Refinery to the Central Energy Fund. So effectively, BP and Shell jointly owned this refinery, and they've now sold it back to the state-owned Central Energy Fund for R1. Raises a couple of questions, raises a lot more questions than answers, and I suppose we're going to see if we can get to the bottom of this and why this might have happened at this particular time, and who better to do this with than independent energy analyst Tsepo Kgadima. Good evening, Tsepo. Lovely to speak to you again. Take me through the rationale. Take me through this the sale. Why sell a refinery when the refinery was at some stage doing 35% of South Africa's refining capacity? It is the biggest refinery that we've had in South Africa. I suppose it has been closed since 2022, since that flood damage, but why sell it for R1?
Jimmy, good evening to you as well as to the listeners of SAFM Market Update. This is a clear case of minimum information, maximum confusion and uncertainty. And I don't think that the people, even at Central Energy Fund themselves, are fully aware of what they have gotten themselves into. Well, if you can find it justifiable to purchase a asset with a capacity of 180,000 barrels a day refining, and you purchase it for R1, you have to wonder. And you have to wonder on the basis that the environmental liabilities that accrue with that purported R1 sale are of such nature that it will make it impossible for Central Energy Fund to actually raise the requisite capital investment to then recommission a new refinery that will, at the very least, be on Euro 4 clean fuel standard, whereby, the, for example, the diesel that they would produce there would be a 10 ppm or less. Now, if you look at countries like India and, of course, Europe and even in Southeast Asian nations, even the new refinery here in Africa or the Dangote Group, they all are producing 10 ppm or less diesel because of the environmental concerns and ensuring that you can be able to raise the requisite capital, because this refinery, as we are aware, I think was built in and commissioned in 1965. And certainly when it shut down in 2022, following the flood damage, it just meant that you couldn't even sell for scrap. Now, so I think we have not been told a lot. I doubt in the final analysis that actually it will turn out the way that we are being told it should turn out, in that a refinery without a distribution network in terms of forecourts, it's effectively useless. Now, the two owners, or the erstwhile owners of this refinery, which is Shell and BP, between them, they operate just over 1,000 forecourts in the country in terms of retail network, and then several depots. Now, the refinery has been sold, but without the oil and lubricants plant and without the terminal, which will then be used by these two companies to continue to import liquid fuels. So 10 years ago, there might have been a rationale of say we have to continue to have Durban as a petrochemicals hub for South Africa. Because when you refine fuel, you're not just looking for the liquid fuels of either gasoline or diesel or jet fuel or paraffin, but there's a whole host of other industrially important petrochemicals that you require and that you derive from refining fuel. And therefore, then, yeah, it made sense. But right now, it makes no sense at all, because the cost, the capital cost will be prohibitive. I'll give an example. If you look at the Mosgas refinery, which is owned by Central Energy Fund through its 100% subsidiary Petro SA. The environmental liabilities for Petro SA in Mossel Bay, both Mosgas as well as the now depleted gas wells, is a 24 billion rand environmental liability. And it is one of the biggest headaches that will most invariably make that company, Petro SA, to be insolvent. And I can't see how Central Energy Fund can actually absorb further environmental liabilities, taking into account the capital investment they will require. And it doesn't appear that they have got an independent engineer's report who would have determined not only what are the environmental liabilities associated with this closed refinery, but also what would it take to bring it back into operation to produce. I understand that Central Energy Fund has got an ambition to convert it to a 300,000 barrels a day refinery or increase its capacity to 300,000 barrels. And I can see how the communities around where this refinery is situated are actually going to accede. So there's going to be the reopening or the capitalization of the refinery is going to be mired in litigation that I would not be surprised if 10 years from now there still isn't one barrel of oil actually refined in that. But notwithstanding that, there will be those liabilities I'm referring to.
Tepo, you've raised a couple of things and I'm hoping we can get through all of them. Obviously, let's start off with the liability side of it. You raised that because the refinery being sold is not the same as the refinery being decommissioned. And for me, that comes across as a BP and a Shell saying, well, now we don't have to deal with the environmental implications thereof. And clearly they didn't sell for a profit, because taking one rand on the sale of such a transaction is, in their books, they've written this off. I mean, Shell previously wrote off their they announced they're disinvesting in the forecourts or their downstream assets, and that was to the detriment of their BE partner Tebe Investments there. But Shell very clearly having written off a certain part of whatever they considered a South African asset at some point, the refinery included, and willing to part with it. But obviously the major thing around not having those environmental liabilities is one thing that both BP and Shell are happy about. But at the same time, like you said, more importantly, how do we get the refinery to work? Because at one stage, this was the biggest refinery in South Africa. Now we have to put in capital to even get it back to operational standards. Where do we go from here? And how do we begin to have that conversation and not just have this lying as another asset on a balance sheet that doesn't have a value, and then having another state-owned entity ask for another bailout?
Yeah, in the first instance, it's going to now be on the balance sheet of Central Energy Fund as a liability. As far as Shell and BP are concerned, they have fully taken an impairment charge following the damage, the flood damage of 2022. So they took a 100% impairment charge on it, because they are on record to have said they were not going to put in a dollar to try and even embark on any repairs to it. Now, take this into account. I mean, South Africa is what, a 640,000 barrels a day liquid fuels market. So we are back to the pre-COVID levels as far as consumption is concerned. And that is just over 36 or just under 37 billion liters of liquid fuels a year that this economy requires to be able to function at the rate that is currently functioning. Now, of course, it would make sense to say, let us get this refinery and increase the capacity. And increasing the capacity to 300,000 barrels would effectively then ensure that the lost capacity, both from SAPREF as well as NREF, which was owned by Engen, now a part of Vitol, that the 300,000 barrels a day then would bring us back to ensuring that we can be less dependent on imports. I mean, right now, of the 640,000 barrels a day consumption, we import at least 503,000 barrels a day of liquid fuels into this economy. So that has also got a whole host of other implications including on the exchange rate, because the exchange rate is largely determined by your, you know, import versus your exports. And right now we our trade deficit and from the imports that we have. So any opportunity to reduce reliance on imports, of course, would bolster well for the exchange rate of the country, and therefore also have less of a bearing on the inflation, and which the Reserve Bank should have been happy about. But those things aside, I just cannot understand how a cabinet found it necessary on the eve of its going out of office to actually approve, because a Central Energy Fund's decision to acquire this refinery would have required cabinet approval. And that is the other lamentable situation as far as South Africa is concerned, that we've seen of late that there's a great deal of secrecy in which is an antithesis to the constitutional provisions, which make it an obligation for state organs to really be fully transparent. So right now, there isn't much more information other than a desire that sometime in the future, this refinery might be working. Now, we know as a matter of fact that National Treasury doesn't have the financial means, nor does Central Energy Fund itself to build a refinery. And also they have not spoken as to what happened to the other previously announced plans to construct a refinery at Richards Bay, at Kuga, and also what happened to getting the Mosgas refinery back online. And I think when they made the announcement that they were going to go with Gazprom Bank of Russia, I'm on record as having said at the time that April was going to come and go. There was no way that that transaction would have seen the light of day. And here we are. So I would not be surprised even if in this particular instance, you know, this refinery never gets back into operation, except then the accruing environmental liabilities. And I think that is the biggest worry that one foresees going ahead, that Central Energy Fund has effectively been put in a position of financial hardship resulting from this purported acquisition of SAPREF.
Certainly more questions than answers, and hopefully we can get to some of the answers in the long term, and hopefully we can get some of the answers out of the Central Energy Funds themselves. Thanks so much for those insights, Tsepo. We're definitely going to pick this up another time. Tsepo Khadima, independent energy analyst, joining me to reflect on that SAPREF refinery sale to the Central Energy Fund for R1.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.